I didn't know your dad was insane.
Why is the Banana King here?
What are you talking? That's my father. Show some reference.
Your father was the somewhat naked man that played with my bra on the island.
I had a beautiful story about some King Kalos Tellus. Written out for about a month. He was supposed to be this great sea commander
then
and
where's
military.
The real king?
The Lord only knows, as there was some magical intervention, and we now have King Yord, ladies and gentlemen.
It's really strange that there's a king that looks identical to the man on the island.
The Monkey King?
I can't believe he is a twin. Oh, we're geniuses.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Foundlings, how's it going? I am Quentin, your GM here, back at it again with the Sword Art Online Odd campaign. This is Season 5, Episode 10, name to be decided after we edit it. Yay!
I don't think you ever introduce an episode by its title anyway.
No, I really don't.
But now they know it's going to be decided.
Now they know when it's decided, because I never know what the party is going to get into. It is physically impossible to name these episodes in advance.
That's true. And also, just so you know, since we're just putting it all out there
all
for
out
our
there.
Audience. Yeah, no, the episode title is not decided until the day of release.
Yeah, Jen, and nor the description, because we have no idea what's going to be thrown out
what
there.
What is this we stuff?
There is you. We stuff. Yeah, it's
me. Yeah, it's a you.
Wee-oo.
So without any further ado, everybody, let's hop back into things with a little bit of a party introduction.
That was a weird way to say. Anyway.
Introduce thine self.
Hi. Hi there. My name is Emily. I play Snow. Snow is the leader of the Odd Guild alongside with their faithful wolf companion, Achia. You're underwater. What are you doing? There we go. We're drowning. He is the king of nothing except for that bone he's got. And there's also Wilson and Draken in the background somewhere. But that's it from me.
Hi, I'm Aurel, and I play Zana. Zana loves parties, any kind of party, unless like a pity party. Not a huge fan of those. Had enough of those.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I play Tama. He has his faithful companion, Pickle Jar.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
A lot of things to do on the list. You know, keep two nations from warring.
That's my favorite intro.
a lot of things to do, you know?
You know, he's got things to do. There's
very,
a lot of things to do.
Man,
preventing
stuff.
A war, you know?
When last we left off the Odd campaign, they were surprisingly on the other side of the jail cell. They have been visiting an acquaintance turned ally who is currently in jail for supposedly kidnapping the princess. But this is, of course, all a ruse, which is how they were able to enter the underwater kingdom of Thessalia. They are at this juncture attempting to solve the political discourse between the two warring nations so that they can garner favor with the new King Yord, who has totally always been the king.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is where we're going to pick up back up.
So, Dryden, how much do you like Kelly? I'm just saying, we might be able to use it to our advantage here.
It's not even just liking Kalexi, the real question is, do you have a suit?
Well, I suppose, yes. I also feel like there are plenty of, like, tailors in the kingdom.
Yeah,
get one.
Well, congratulations. You're getting married.
We think that, you know, it'd be the best
just,
way
like,
to...
He just, looks at the two only females here and just, like, points back and forth and it's very confused?
No.
I mean, no, you could I'm flattered, but no.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, I'll pass. Thank you, though.
But what about... Snow has self-doubt now. What about Kelly?
I believe that that would probably cause war between two nations.
Or stop the war between two nations. Unless this is a Romeo and Juliet situation where, like, everybody dies. In which case, we still get the trident, so...
Everyone doesn't die in Romeo and Juliet. What version of that were you reading?
Most of the people die in Romeo and Juliet. There's at least, like, 8 deaths.
The lovers die, and that's mostly it. Like, there's one dude that... Okay, hold on.
Wait, I'm thinking of the ham one.
Hamlet?
Yeah, the ham one.
Dryden just looks so confused as he has no idea what you're talking about.
So, while I do believe that a diplomatic marriage, while in the best interests of the private parties, it would potentially calm some of the masses, there are dissidents who would disapprove.
Okay, well, Mr. Smart, I got a cool daddy on a council, man. What do you think would be the best, you know?
Speaking of which, what was your last name again? Because I honestly have lost track of every single person we've talked about
recently.
I'm not
going to lie. I thought his last name was Dryden and his first name was Duche.
Oh, I thought it was just Dryden. Dryden.
Dryden Tismos.
Do you own like an Italian restaurant or something? I don't know. It just feels like...
Hey, what's wrong with Italians?
It's kind of like SpaghettiOs. I don't know. It just feels...
Those are not Italian. We do not claim those in our culture.
Yes, my father is a council member for the Maminskian people, but the problem is he does not hold as much sway as one would hope.
Don't worry, we'll take care of that.
Ensnor Thane has significant sway within the council party, holding a vast majority of the individuals under his thumb. So the largest problem with diplomatic marriage is that Ensnor Thane would use his political sway to manipulate the other council members in order to annul the marriage almost immediately, even if it were to go through, and then further on, utilize this as a reason to why the Maminskian individuals cannot trust the Thessalians. And also, furthermore, there is the obvious dissenter of this, which is Aristos Orman, who is the current betrothed to Kalexi.
Are they still betrothed?
She already has a fiancé? Is that why she was trying to run away with you?
An arranged marriage.
We'll work on to rearrange it.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do.
I'm just saying that not only would you have dissent from the Maminskian side, but you would also have the issue of some of the Thessalian dissenters who are backing Aristos.
You're lacking a lot of hope here.
You know, you're really kind of shooting down all of the ideas that we initially had, and you're not coming up with any of your own.
No,
like,
me,
you're not adding...
Okay, I'll try to add something. Let me be clear. If we were to arrange some sort of nuptials, make a large spectacle out of it, I'm sure it would...
Oh, I can do spectacles.
I'm sure that... All of these important political figures would be gathered in one place. If we could manage it to be very discreetly taken care of, there would no longer be any resistance or opposition. And then we could join the two nations.
Well, we did talk to the king, and he's all for, you know, not fighting someone, so...
It's very surprising. I swear, like, 2 months ago, he was a complete warmonger and, like, a racist.
I think he had a change of heart. I mean, just seeing his daughter come back, probably. That's probably it.
He had one of those Fumua Lao Lao fruits. It really is calming.
Very calming, yes. Very calming.
Do you want us to break you out illegally or get you released legally to where you're not going to have to worry about being locked up again just because everybody's racist?
I figured that you would have... I mean, yeah, legally would be ideal.
Oh, don't worry. King Yord's already going to pardon you and allow you out. You just have to agree with our plan. You're getting married. Do you agree? Do you consent to this?
That's perfectly fine. I'm
wonderful.
Just saying that there's...
Congratulations.
Thank you. A little awkward, like, that it's with individuals who I met, like, 24 hours, 48 hours ago around, but, like...
It's turtle time, honestly. I don't think anybody knows.
Does Kalexi know this yet?
She'll be thrilled. She'll be happy.
She'll be, yes. Well, listen.
I saw the way she was blushing at you.
The point is that even once the ceremony is underway, I will need bipartisan individuals to dispose of incredibly discreetly the opposition to this plan.
Oh, well, here's part of the plan. We slip this juice of polymorph into Esnor's drink, and he turns into a monkey.
I was thinking of more of like...
And then we kill him. It makes it so much easier. He has less HP.
I mean...
Honestly, I think the less I know, the better.
So we're going to discreetly dispose of, wink, the...
Esnor Thane, but also probably Aristos Arman.
Okay, I just have to be sure. Those two guys are, like, complete a-holes, right?
See, we turn them into monkeys, and then we bring them to the Monkey King.
And then he's in charge of them, because
he's
the Monkey
King currently the king of Atlantis?
Wilson! Yes,
but he's still the king of the monkeys, too.
I think he's really, like, expanded his domain of influence.
It's pretty significant, honestly.
But, like, if we just turn them into monkeys and leave them, couldn't someone arguably, like, either dispel the magic or, like, cast Speak with Animals and then get information and figure out
who... Yeah, and even if they're monkeys, they're still going to resist us.
And even if they're dead monkeys, like, Speak with Dead's a spell.
I have a spell that allows you to not speak with or bring back the soul of the dead.
Why don't we just talk to Elsnor Thane and see if he actually likes Kalexia? And if he doesn't, maybe he'll want to, you know, annul their engagement anyway.
Why would Enzor Thane want to annul their engagement?
Because he's secretly in love with a flounder.
I don't know. I'm just hoping for the best here. No. If he doesn't agree, we'll just...
So, Enznor is the Merminskin council member.
Oh.
Aristos, Arman.
Oh my god.
Wait, we get Aristos to fall in love with someone else. And then he's not going to want to go through with the engagement.
Aristos, Arman, has absolutely no romantic investment in the relationship.
Oh, he's just after for the power?
He wants a parcel of land. That's what we do. Give him a parcel of land and then banish him.
I think he has slightly higher aspirations than land.
I'll just shift him to another plane then.
If he were to be the prince in waiting after marrying the princess, then as soon as the current king is no longer with us, he would be the next in line.
Oh, shoot, he's gonna assassinate the king.
I mean, he doesn't really have to do that. The king's gonna go into single combat pretty soon.
Oh, shoot, just according to his plan.
I think you're finally seeing all of the pieces.
So, what we have to do is get rid of both of them, period. So the way we do this...
The less I know, the better. I don't think I can make that any more clear. It's very incriminating that we're having this conversation.
No one has, like, a cone of silence on them, do they?
It's okay. We asked the guards to give us some privacy. The only people that could hear us if there was any other prisoners in here.
You just hear people, like, just the clattering of chains and, like, someone uncomfortably coughing down the hall.
I thought this was like a single cell.
He is in a single cell in a lined hallway filled with like multiple other cells. It's not like he was in solitary confinement.
Well, it's a good thing nobody else heard us, or else we'd have to kill them.
I'm already dying. You don't have to worry about me.
Oh, do you want me?
No, I'm fine. I'm pretty sure I have a life sentence. I'll just be here.
I swim to the person that is talking.
You just see this very decrepit, like, bony fish person who looks very emaciated, as if they have been here for quite some time.
So what you in for?
I didn't think that far ahead when I introduced this character.
Indecent exposure. He's a reverse merman. I had dreams of being a king.
No.
What's no, your name?
That individual would be in a sane asylum. You're not clearly the king. You've not what you're talking about.
Regrettably, once I attempted to steal an artifact of Valamos.
Oh, the trident?
Attempted to steal the origin stone.
Oh, that sounds important.
It's only a artifact of primordial magic, which is an infinite source of energy and potential utilized to have the entire defensive barrier that you see around the kingdom.
Is that the stone that was on Margaret?
No.
There are two stones. There was a stone on Margaret when I was digging that I think controlled the barrier around her?
Well, then probably...
That is probably a fracture of the origin stone.
Why didn't you steal it from Margaret?
If their city has a primordial, quote-unquote, origin stone powering it, giving it its barrier, wouldn't it make sense if the other place had one of those, too?
You see as Snow summons her shovel from her inventory.
No, 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 put the shovel back.
Start digging.
No.
Should you be talking about all of this in front of me?
Look, look, buddy, if we get this all sorted out, I'll put in a good word for you. We're good friends with the king.
We could probably get you a pardon.
That is, if you know how to keep your quacking mouth shut. Is there any reason you have to snitch on us? Like, really? That's not worth your life.
I guess it does depend, but you are kind of like six individuals all looming around my cage while I'm shackled. So I don't really feel like I have too many options right now, but...
Exactly.
But, like, once you leave, and, like, someone else comes along, and they offer me my freedom more immediately and expeditedly, like...
How many people have offered you your freedom since you've been here?
Well, I didn't really have
exactly
anything.
One. So you're not going to turn your back on that.
Sure, but
yeah.
I didn't...
Who comes to see you?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody cares
about
you. Your wife is probably ashamed of you, moved on, married some guy named Larry.
Oh, that really sucks. And Larry's bald.
What? No.
And now your daughter calls
like
him daddy.
He's an incredibly ripped lobster.
And he's bald.
I think most lobsters are bald, yes.
So you've admitted your wife's already moved on and married a lobster named Larry?
I've been in here for 35 years.
Wow, your life really sucks.
Dang, man.
We've gotten very distracted by you. So your options are this. You either keep your mouth shut and live, or you don't keep it shut and you die.
I guess, like, who am I going to tell, right?
That's what I thought. All right.
Draken, you've been questionably quiet. Are you okay? What are you doing?
Draken's just here for the ride, honestly, at this point.
I feel like once the marriage is over, though, then, like, the Marminskins will handle that. Kind of, maybe. I feel like we can cross that bridge when we come to it, right? Like, one step at a time. All right. Well, anyways...
Well, we're going to go and ask Yord if he can get you out of here as soon as possible. And we probably should tell Kelly that she's also
getting married.
Or should we let you... We should let you tell her.
You need to propose. Do you want to propose? Yes. Do you need a ring? Do you need a box? Do you know how to get on your fish knees?
Wouldn't it just be one knee?
Wouldn't it just be like an angled fin? Is there a specific way you propose?
Yes, there is. Not in front of any of you.
Understood. So do you want us to tell her or should you tell?
I think I should tell her. Yes,
all right.
Right.
All
yeah,
right, right. So we'll get you out of here.
That'd be great.
And then we'll follow you.
No.
Oh.
I think the king said that you had to be escorted if you were to go anywhere.
I think I'll stick with the guards.
Yeah, it's probably best.
I guess I'll see you all at the wedding.
Did you just want to skip to the day of the wedding? Or did you guys want to make a plan?
Excuse me, I wanted to see a proposal here then at this
point. Oh, no, he is... So time skip. Dritus does get pardoned, and then over the course of the next couple of hours, you miraculously see the biggest pearl you have ever seen on Kalexi's finger as she was proposed to, where none of you were. But there is much excitement throughout a large portion of the kingdom and throughout the castle itself. But there's also some very quiet murmuring.
We make sure to, like, advertise the wedding as marrying her one true love.
Very, okay. So you can go ahead, roll a diplomacy check for me. Let's see how well you can convince the locals that this is all about finding true love.
33, my homie man.
Very powerful. So yeah, you have some very serious gossip going in between a lot of like the kitchen cooking staff.
I've been going into the hair salons, talking to the dressers. So,
like, you've been basically like following Kelly around, being her hype woman this entire time, like wherever she goes.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
She's going to get like catering and her hair done and like bridal gown shopping, and you're just like following her around, like handing out flyers with like a megaphone, being like, "This is true love," and like everyone's like fawning over it. It's a royal wedding. Everyone's very excited. As you have been spending some time with Kelly, she does renew the spell which she has been casting on you, and it seems like it will, in efficacy, last until the next time she casts it on you. But again, for those of you who have forgotten, you do find out over the course of the preparations for the wedding that Kalexi's mother, Queen Aphorosa Teles, is not only the Supreme Highness of the Ocean, but also the High Priestess of Valamos. She's going to be officiating the wedding.
What's her opinion on the wedding?
Go ahead and roll Sense Motive.
Well, I would like to roll Sense Motive as well.
I'm going to give this one to just Tama, as you were being the...
You're right. I am more interested in Kelly.
18.
Kelly's mother is an incredibly stoic and graceful figure. She seems to be going along with emotions, but it's really hard to get a beat on how she's feeling. She outwardly expresses approval and says that this has been blessed by Valamos and that it will bring peace to the nations. Snow, is there anything you would like to do?
Yes, I would like to work with King Yord.
To what?
I would like to essentially work with him to find a way to ensure that Esnor drinks the polymorph potion. Whether or not it is during a toast, he gets a very specific cup. As long as it's not like in Emperor's New Groove where the cups get all mixed, because that could be really bad.
So, I mean, I think there's assigned seating at the venue for the reception.
But is there one person on your staff that you'd trust above everybody else to do things absolutely right?
I just met all these people 72 hours ago.
All right, so we need to go through every single person on this list. How many employees do you have?
At least 112.
Wilson, can we go through 112 people the next... When is the wedding?
Tomorrow!
Like, less than 24 hours.
So, like, that we'd have, like, a 15-minute vetting session per person if we pulled an all-nighter.
That's it. Wilson, put your tuxedo on. You're working the venue.
I'm working the venue!
And I'm joining you.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
So, yeah, I can tell you where he's going to be seated, but I can't really promise anything aside from that.
How suspicious would he be if he sees people with legs? Because I know almost everybody here doesn't... Like, you're a little suspicious yourself, Your Majesty, seeing that you have legs.
I take offense to that.
We can just be the king's relatives.
I don't know if I want to be related to all of you.
Distant relatives, you know, like third cousins.
I mean, alternatively, if you take gillyweed, it will grow you flippers for a period of time.
Oh, well, we can just do that.
So what is the general appearance of the population?
There's a very large diversity of populace. No one has straight up feet down here. Like, no one
except
walks.
For us.
Right. You're like the only actual...
Including
like,
the king.
Including the king. But there are some people who are almost 100% anthropomorphized, where it's just like they just have webbed hands and feet. And then it goes to like the other extreme where it's just literally sometimes there's just fish that are talking.
When it comes down to the clothing that is, I know you probably have not thought about this at all, but clothing that is worn, do the women wear long dresses that cover things? Like how do they dress for this kind of thing?
So yeah, there would be a pre-approved formal outerwear, especially for the staff members and female staff members. So men would definitely be wearing like full suits. Women would be wearing whatever the wedding venue colors would have been decided to be.
It's all made out of seaweed.
And it is all made out of naturally sourced underwater materials. But that's generally only for the more anthropomorphized fish people. You can totally just see like a lobster just like walking around in its shell, and like that would be perfectly acceptable.
There are nudist lobsters?
Yeah, no, there are absolutely nudist fish individuals who are 100% accepted in society.
She would suggest to Wilson and anybody else who would want to join, but she would be maybe trying to be part of the wait staff.
Okay.
We want Ensnor to transform, but not in front of other people.
I was about to say, wouldn't it be a little suspicious if just like in the middle of a wedding party, like a really high, important diplomat just turned into a monkey?
Right.
Also, just throwing this out there, we're kind of only figuring out a plan for Ensnor. It's only been like 2 days, but I can't imagine that Aristos is just going to like take this without interruption.
You would object. Hey, Zana, you want to go kill him or something?
Oh, me? I'm with Kelly. We're out shopping right now. This is day before the wedding.
Is it green or teal, or is it teal or green?
See, that's what I was saying.
I don't know. Like, honestly, I definitely feel like
nope,
a nice silver
nope
trim.
I think the teal with the green, it goes better with your eyes than the green and the teal.
I was thinking nice silver trim with very long train.
Oh, yes, and it will flow when you swim down
yes
the aisle.
That's
oh,
what it's going for.
Yes.
I think it would be reasonable. Why on earth would the now ex-fiancé ever show up to the wedding? He would be upset. So what if we kidnap him, tie him up somewhere, and just keep him occupied? Either tie him up or occupy him in some way, shape, or form.
So, you're talking about kidnapping and a hostage situation very calmly here. Like, I understand that this individual is kind of like an opposition to us, but like...
Well, no. What if we hold up his carriage?
How are we holding up his carriage?
Well, we can hire people. You know that, right? You can hire people in this game.
Sure.
So we hire bandits to hold up his coach so he can't make it to the wedding.
Okay, but like, that doesn't... I'm fine with that.
We just need the wedding to go off right now.
Yeah, but then, like, he's still gonna cause a fuss later.
So, the bandits kill him.
Snow?
I don't know what else.
Talking about murder here.
Then do you have a better suggestion? Do we move him to Fiji? Like, I don't know what
maybe
else you want me to do.
Maybe he likes Fiji. Did you ask him?
We strand him on the turtle, and he becomes the new Monkey King.
All the kingship he ever
he wants
wanted
to be a king, so he can be the king of the monkeys. There you go.
I mean, this is the most non-violent solution that I have heard proposed. I feel like it is a compromise.
So, we hire bandits to drive his carriage, like to make him flee to the turtle. He's forced onto the turtle. He can't leave the turtle.
I think I got just the guys.
You have people.
Of course I have people. Do you not have people?
You are my people.
Consent. You need to get more people.
No, I'm satisfied. I don't need a large people.
I'm just saying, your people are like kind of... You don't have people to do the job. I'm just saying, it's going to probably be costly.
Draken, whatever it costs, just take it. I have nothing left.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you can pay them.
For the love of God, we will pay them with... what. Just tell Yord that we need his money. We could fund
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. He's seen it well enough. I'll see what I can do.
So make sure you just tell him, if he wants to live, he has to pay people to live.
That sounds like extortion. I'm in. I'm so proud you've come so far, Snow. You know, you really would have made a great Dark Guild member.
We then need to lure Ensnor away from the main party.
She looks at Tama. Now, here's the thing, Tama.
Yes?
Tama, you're really good at drawing out conversations.
Okay.
So, what we do is we get him stuck in a conversation with you outside of the main building. We draw him out. You are an investor of some sort.
We could also just wait for him to go to the bathroom and then...
You want to make a man drink a potion while he is pooping?
No. Go to the bathroom. You're waiting at the door when he comes out and then just boom.
I mean, it's very straightforward. You can't deny the efficacy. Except, like, maybe the potential witnesses. But other than that,
well,
very,
yeah,
very efficient.
What if there's a lie? In the bathroom when he goes to wash his hands.
All right. We have to draw him out somehow. What is going to get his attention to leave the building and follow after one of us?
Probably some sort of crisis involving matters of the council.
I think that's a great idea.
Either way, I shouldn't be the one saying that, because I've been told it's too easy to read me.
By who?
Well, whenever I try and lie, it just doesn't seem to work. They just think I'm lying, probably because I have no expression whatsoever.
Wait, we're putting Ensnor on the turtle, too?
And then we tell the turtle to swim far, far away.
I feel bad for Margaret. But also, time will pass really quickly, so he'll age up, and monkeys can't live very long. They have like a lifespan of like 2 years.
It depends on the monkey.
A small monkey might live for like 10 years at most, but on the back of a turtle?
Okay, so I get I'm hiring people to kidnap a Thessalian aristocrat and put him on a turtle against his will. What exactly is our plan for Ensnor?
I'm saying we need to make sure that he turns into this monkey form away from the eyes of wandering eyes.
Offer to have a private conversation with him. All you have to do is offer to talk about something that he would want to talk about that he wouldn't want to talk about around other people.
You're, you know, from another country, you're, you know, a diplomat and stuff, and you don't really approve of this. I can just stand there really intimidating as
my bodyguard. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, exactly. So we play it up.
If we expressed our discontent with the marriage and maybe like offer to assassinate the princess or something, he probably wouldn't want to talk about that in front of other people, but he'd probably be willing to talk about it. So what if we just like offered to take him to like one of the diplomatic conference rooms?
Yeah, that would be better.
We offer him a drink and then he drinks it and then he turns into a monkey.
But he doesn't know us, so why would he take it from us? He would take it more likely if it's from the party.
You mean the party?
The wedding?
Oh, I mean true.
Right?
But also, the question is, does he have to drink the whole thing?
I think so. I don't know how
so,
it
like,
works.
So, like, if we just time it.
Just slowly
like,
just rip it into the...
No, as he's drinking it, just once it gets down to
like halfway or so,
yeah,
and it's like, hey, you want to come have a chat with us? And then we pull him to the side as he's finishing his drink, and then he finishes his drink, and then poof, he's a monkey.
She would nod along with that.
Does the potion taste good, do you know?
But I mean, what alcohol tastes good?
I mean, it's fair.
You can mix potions in with other things, right?
I think so.
And then it'll, like, mask the flavor, more or less.
It does have monkey fur in it, so...
Hopefully it doesn't get a hairball.
So, for success, Wilson, you bring his cup filled with the potion. Make sure he takes it.
Snow would send a message to Zana to give her an update on the plot.
Well, I'm glad we have her ex-fiancé all handled. Question. Do you want me to be outside the door during the wedding?
I think all this is going to happen during the reception.
Okay. Yeah, because I might... I mean, me and Kelly were talking, and, like, she doesn't have any other, like, best friends. Like, she has someone who she might be obligated to choose as her maid of honor, but like, and then I would be mad at her if she did. But like, I'm just saying, we've been having a great time today. We got our nails done. Look at these. I'll send you a picture of my nails. They are teal and green.
They're snails crawling over them.
Yeah.
I love their manicure system here. So soothing.
Looks nice.
She's getting one of those pedicures where, like, the little tiny fish bite off all the dead skin.
Oh, it's so relaxing.
Looks very nice. That is perfectly fine. It will be during the reception, as long as everything goes according to plan. Aristos, though, will be held up from attending the wedding.
Probably a good idea.
Which we said makes sense. Why would he want to be there?
Yeah, why would he want to be at his ex-fiance's... especially when it's her true love and not that... obvious political marriage she was forced into. The citizens love a good love story.
They also really like drama, I've heard. Also, does Aristos have parents? Are they going to worry if he disappears? Should we write a letter?
Shrug emoji.
I'm running away. I can't live with this anymore.
The day of the wedding. You all have been around the capital city of Thessalia for a little while now, and Zana, as you are one of the bridesmaids, you actually have seen some of the venue, which is this wedding is going to be held in the main chapel of Valamos, which all of you have kind of seen from a distance.
The one with the origin stone.
The one with the origin stone in it.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure.
And in fact, like, no stops have been withheld. Like, they are utilizing the Origin Stone to make a fantastically beautiful scene. First off, it is just an extravagant display of wealth and power here. Numerous aristocrats from all over the Underwater Kingdom are currently present. And you can see as there are dancing spectacle lights being emanated from this origin stone, making fantastical illusions to entertain the guests in the interim. But as the wedding ceremony commences, they all turn into flower petals as they lay softly on the ground. And the wedding proceeds without a hitch, and it is time to move to the reception. You did notice, of course, as during this beautiful ceremony, you were keeping watch as all of the individuals were coming and going. You never saw, and you hear some faint murmuring about one Aristos, who everyone was surprised was not in attendance.
They were surprised. Oh, God.
At the reception, like in the dinner line, yeah, I'm surprised he didn't show up.
I'm not. I'd be ashamed if, you know, like, the girl I was trying to marry to get power actually found her one true love. Like, you wouldn't come over and mess that up, you know?
I would say also Snow would be, like, spreading, like, kind of like a rumor, like, why would he want to show up? After all, he is her ex-fiancé.
Both of you, roll diplomacy checks. As you are trying to influence the guests and the people in the midst of the reception.
28.
Okay.
25.
Now, I'm going to say that as the reception is kicking up, you guys are busy trying to manipulate the crowd and sway them into your side and improve their attitude towards you and your plea. Would anyone be keeping track and looking for Ensnor?
Absolutely, the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying you two were busy.
I would
were busy
say Tama would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Tama's not doing any diplomacy stuff.
Okay.
I would say it would be Tama. But that would make more sense.
Just because I'm talking like while in the catering line doesn't mean I'm not actively keeping my eye on him. Would you like me to roll perception for that?
I would say that because you were focusing on your diplomacy, you were going around and it wasn't just like a single conversation you were having. You were like going around the venue and having very in-depth conversations with multiple people, trying to sow these seeds. And you were very successful in swaying people to your side, but it demanded a large amount of your attention. Thankfully, though, you do have other members of your party who are keeping a watch. So, Tama, what is your perception check?
17.
You are able to see that there is actually numerous black carriages coming forth. It seems as if there are five of them, and Ensnor does end up getting out of the second one in the order. Snow and Zana, you can make a perception check.
I'm assuming disadvantage.
Yeah, your DC is a lot higher, though, because you guys are multitasking. Is it bad?
I rolled a 5.
I rolled a 2, so you know.
I rolled a 14 plus 13.
Was it 27?
27. It's not bad.
16.
Okay. Snow, you are completely enamored in all of your conversations.
She absolutely sees Wilson in his little tuxedo. She's like,
a little waiter uniform.
She's like, oh, kind of cute.
Kind of
a little cute.
And in fact, Wilson does come up and compliment your dress. And he's kind of being all chummy with you.
Well, I see you're a nice little diplomat there. You're looking very regal and fashionable, my old lady.
Wilson, you can't talk to me right now. You're supposed to be the waiter. God.
I can't compliment a foreign diplomat as a waiter. I think that's well within my right to do. Can I offer you any fizzy drink? Maybe purple.
Wilson, which one am I not supposed to take?
Oh, you can take either. None of these are the spike ones.
Oh, thank God.
You should take a cup from both. Like, just back and forth.
Susanna. As you are chatting around, your eyes are constantly darting towards the front entrance, waiting to see when your target arrives. And you do notice these five black carriages. And as I mentioned, Ensnor gets out of the second most one out of the five.
Question, how do I know he's Ensnor? I've never seen this man before in my life. Did
You were given a description.
I was given a description by Dryden's, most likely.
Yes, and very similar to the stone found present on Margaret, there is some form of... I'm trying to remember what... So there are divination stones, which you were able to consult with, and they were able to answer some, but not all of your questions. You do see this dark-skinned, chiseled-jawed fish individual with, like, wavy black hair. He's in a dark suit, and he seems to be walking with a cane. But you notice that he gets out of the second most carriage, which isn't the largest or most fashionable carriage, as the center one is. All you see is what seems to be a long line of guards surrounding an individual, and you can barely catch a faint glimpse of platinum blonde hair.
Oh, they probably have some sort of like... No, I thought they were a whole council thing. That's interesting.
So all of you are sitting down at the reception. So the reception's underway, and you do see Enznor sitting down at his assigned table. And there's merriment and dancing, and there's a large, extravagant banquet with all manner of food and drink.
I would like to sense motive. Kelly's and Dritus's faces, please.
Sure, go ahead.
Ooh, can I sense motive the queen's face again?
Sure.
29.
20.
You can see that the priest, the high priestess, is going about her routine duties as the High Priestess of Valamos. It doesn't seem as if she is very emotionally invested, but is putting on a very routine display. She's being very official in these matters. Whereas Zana, you can see that the recently married couple is absolutely delighted. They are having a wonderful time. They're super happy, and they are definitely, truly in love.
I knew it.
However, you do sense a glint of fear, as if they are nervous and or anxious about something. That currently this is an extravagantly wonderful and happy moment in their life, but they're wondering how long it will be able to last. And everyone is sitting down for the reception, and you can see Enznor Thane. All of you are able to perceive your target, as he is sat somewhat in the far left center side of all of the tables, like a good ways away from the actual main banquet table, as he is only one of many council members of the Merminskian people, and there are other higher ranking, more important individuals sat closer.
Speaking of more important individuals, I would like to look for that one person that was surrounded by a bunch of guards. Are they still surrounded by a bunch of guards, so much so to obscure their face?
Roll a perception check.
That's only 26.
You are also in the throes of the wedding party. People are constantly like taking pictures, and you have like all the ceremony, and you are also actually sat at the bridal table as well. So like you're right up at the front, but that does actually give you a relatively good oversight over all of the tables, and you don't see any high concentration of the Merminskian guards anymore, and it's kind of hard to pick out one individual out of the crowd.
How many people have platinum hair?
You don't see anyone at this current moment. It's almost as if they vanish.
Where is Yord?
Yord?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the father of the bride. He sat at the bridal party. Yeah, he's right next to his wife and High Priestess of Alamos.
His wife?
Yeah, his wife.
How does Yord look right now? What is he doing?
I mean, he's enjoying the food. He enjoys a good party. He's kind of oohing and aahing at the spectacle as if he's never seen anything this grand before. And his wife is kind of looking at him a little confused about like why he's making such a big deal about this. Like, it should be fairly routine.
He's like a child.
He really is. He is absolutely enamored by the spectacle, and he's actually having a very good time.
Okay. When it gets to be about time for any dancing, because
it's gotta be dancing.
We're all sitting down. Like, yeah. It's going to be really weird if I just go over. So Snow kind of turns and looks towards Tama, gestures with her head to kind of be like, just pay attention. But she does send him a quick message. Wait until the dance starts, and we'll approach him then.
Tama sends a thumbs up.
And after everyone has made their
way... She sends it to Wilson, too.
...into the reception hall and has left all of their wedding gifts over at the gift station, and you see this mountain of presents and various accoutrements left towards this very grandiose crystalline table. Eventually, you do hear fanfare.
Okay.
And an announcement comes over. It is time for the couple's first dance. And everyone begins cheering. But everyone is standing and clapping as the newly wedded couple makes their way to the dance floor, and they are beginning their first dance.
I take this time to message Snow covertly as everyone else's attention is diverted. Snow, I think one of the council diplomats is missing. I saw a heavily guarded platinum hair person walk in, but I can't find them anywhere in the room. Something smells fishy.
She just sends a message back. You lost a person?
I saw them enter, question mark, and now I don't see them inside. Question, GM, are we still in the room with the origin stone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was actually quite impressive. They utilized the magic of the origin stone to effectively manifest all of matter you currently are utilizing in this room. So there were all of these beautiful pews and one of those arches where they were, and like all of these decorations. And as soon as the wedding ceremony was over, they almost dissipated as if they were made of light. And then the origin stone was utilized, as you see a number of the priestesses come out, and they manifested all of the tables and chairs that you are currently using.
I figured as much.
Okay. Snow would also just then message back, keep your eye out, but our opportunity to approach Ensnor is coming up quick.
Okay.
Zana, roll a perception check for me.
32.
As you were messaging Snow, you were looking off in her general direction. She's a good ways away from you as you're all the way in the bridal party, and she's kind of situated her way closer to Ensnor. And you can't hear what's being said, but you see the following interaction. As Snow, you're kind of waiting on the prowl to intercept Ensnor when the opportunity presents itself and everyone is kind of in the hustle and bustle, getting ready to go out on the dance floor. But as you're messaging Zana, you are approached. You feel an uncomfortable presence.
I just feel it.
You can feel as the air and atmosphere changes around you. You can see all of the merriment taking place, but for some reason, all of these fantastical colors and music seem muted and distant. My dearest Amelia, how busy you have been.
She visibly tenses, and she turns slightly and forces a smile on her face.
Well, Camille, what a surprise to see you here.
I felt like it has been such a long time since our previous chat. I felt compelled to make an appearance.
And you can see that Camille is committing an absolutely pure taboo as she herself is actually dressed in a relatively regal and fashionable white dress at a wedding. Almost as if she is asserting her power in the situation.
Oh, you came to see little old me, and not the wedding. How strange.
The wedding seemed a little orchestrated. I wanted to know the people pulling the strings.
And you can see as her head kind of tilts a little bit to the right and her eyes narrow in on you.
Strange. It seems to me that this is just a wedding for two people who are very much in love. I'm not sure why you would be here, Camille.
Like I said, a chat between the two of us has been long overdue.
Oh.
I couldn't find you in headquarters, nor your guild hall, or even Castle Rimadov when I paid them the visit the other day.
She, like, her face just visibly gets angry.
What do you want, Camille?
Why don't we have a little chat?
And she kind of gestures to a corridor to the side.
I'm not going anywhere right now.
You're not going anywhere?
No, she stands there.
And why would I go anywhere with you?
This is no place to have a serious conversation. One that very well may affect the course of your life forever.
It's interesting you say that, Camille. Is that a threat?
Only if you are threatened by the truth.
You see Snow, and she seems immensely frustrated and kind of whips around to now no longer be facing you. You sense danger. But as this is occurring and you are making your way across this very bustling room, you feel a gentle tap on your shoulder.
I turn.
You see the platinum blonde-haired figure that you saw previously.
And who is with Snow?
You don't see anyone over with Snow.
I don't see anyone with Snow. I just see Snow turn back.
You saw Snow look very aggravated, honed in on Ensnor, and then all of a sudden she got very flustered and turned around. And you are making your way over to her. But as you were interrupted by someone you've only ever seen once. Unmistakably, it is Camille Lacimus.
I look at her, and I don't say anything.
Well, 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 my dear Celania.
Aww. I'm not a deer.
Oh, you are dear to some.
You wish.
I do believe that that is your true motivation, after all.
What? Have a pasture of deer? My true motivations? You think you know what my true motivations are?
Sarcasm and deflection. Hasn't it gotten you so far in life?
Sure has. I try to break away from her and, again, go towards Snow.
Feel free to go to your allies, but then you wouldn't be able to hear my offer.
Oh, let me guess. Do what I say and I'll let you and your friends live. Don't you have enough blood on your hands already?
Don't you all just want to get out of the game?
I want everybody to get out of the game, not just us. This isn't a game anymore. Games are fun. Games make you laugh. And while we have had fun and we have laughed, we've also had people die. People don't die when you play, you know, Monopoly.
The choice is up to you. Resist, and you may overcome me. But all of these relationships you have worked so hard to foster, how many of them will be ended in the struggle?
I'm ready to roll, Wilson. I get a little misty-eyed, but I do not hold it back. These relationships were going to end eventually.
You don't have to, Celania.
If I want my friends to return to their real lives, they will. And more than I want people to like me or to have people around me, I want my friends to be safe from this hellscape you call a game.
Then your wish can be granted. You and all of your friends, I'll let you out. You just have to leave.
Leave here?
The game.
Oh, with our nice little leave button that we have. Yeah.
I'll enable it. You and your guild may leave the game.
Why? Because we're too much trouble? Because you think we can beat you? Because you know we have the potential to actually fight back? Because we're the only ones that have gotten this far.
Is that struggle worth the lives of your friends?
I'm sure you're probably threatening my life to somebody else right now. What do you get out of it? Just getting us out of your way? But you hold no premise for us to trust you.
And you get a notification.
What is the notification?
You open up your player menu, and for the first time ever, you see a log out button.
I close the menu immediately. I'm not one to take the easy way out. Never have been. Just not really my style.
And maybe that's why you've lost everyone close to you.
I look around the room.
While this conversation's been happening, you're overseeing the wedding procession as the reception is ongoing. You're standing at the door, kind of observing those who have been coming and going. But recently, your attention has been drawn into the reception itself as you see Snow kind of whip around wildly and look frustrated off to the side. Likewise, you saw Zana very hurriedly get up from the bridal party and begin storming off into the middle of the crowd until she stopped quite suddenly. But while this is ongoing, you feel a gentle tap on your shoulder.
Tama would turn around relatively quickly. He was, like, standing against, like, a door. There shouldn't have been enough room between him and, like, for someone to be behind him.
You see before you this relatively tall, platinum blonde woman with slightly longer than shoulder length hair. She's currently wearing kind of, like, white poofy dress.
Aaron, I haven't had the pleasure of speaking with you yet.
Yes. I've only ever seen you once. And that was only for a very short period back at the guild. I've heard some stuff about you.
I'm sure you've heard many things. But honestly, out of most everyone here,
and she kind of gestures to the crowd and points out a couple of your guild members,
you're the one I think I could benefit the most.
I'm guessing from what you're implying, you already know that I have a lot of questions that I wanted answers for.
And no one has more answers than me.
So I've heard.
I have answers to questions you haven't even thought to ask yet. Why don't we have a conversation?
She kind of gestures over to the side corridor.
So Tama will look at Snow and Zana. He kind of looks at the people dancing, and then he messages Wilson real quick.
He does not respond.
He tries Drake and...
no response.
Well, it's not a great time for a discussion, though.
Oh.
If it is quick, I could step out for a second.
It'll only take a moment. It certainly won't interfere with anything you have planned here.
Tom will walk out into the hall.
Cool. So, Zana, you notice that Tama leaves his post and begins walking off towards the hall.
I would like to perception the room for Butler Wilson.
You see a pale-faced Wilson, absolutely terrified. He has put his drink tray down and he is standing there as if he's seen a ghost.
What is going on? You're targeting us all. Somehow...
Do you think that you're the only one with goals in life? The only one I can make an offer to?
I don't. I know that you can cheat.
It's not cheating. Just like you, I'm playing the game.
You were part of making the game. I'm not interested in any deal that doesn't involve everybody being able to get out.
Even Epitaph? The Fourth Seal? The guilds that tried to kill you?
All of those people are people in real life who have real bodies, real parents, real people with souls. I don't know what these NPCs are, but they've began to mimic the souls, or at least the emotions of people, questionably well.
And are you saying that these random individuals, some who have even contested you, they're worth as much as your friends?
I'm saying that every human life is worth something.
Even Asher and the Phoenix Feathers, you would risk the life of your now friends for him?
Asher's a douche, sure. But again, human life is a human life. And I wouldn't have us get some special privilege just because you want to get us out of the way. Do you know what this tells me, Camille? This tells me you're scared of us. You don't want us interfering because you know that we have the capabilities. You know that we have the power to defeat you at some level. The question is, why do you want to get rid of us so badly right now? Why right now? Does it just so happen to interfere with your little base underwater?
Oh, I was offering the carrot before the stick.
Well, I think we both know what you would have ended up giving us anyway. False hope. False truth. Honestly, how do I know that pressing this button to log out isn't going to kill me instantly? I know you could whip that up.
You're not wrong.
I know I'm not.
I am a woman of my word. So,
you see her scrolling through.
Just so you know that I'm telling the truth, have a sample of your freedom.
And your vision goes black. Okay, so tell me you're going off in your own conversation. Snow, roll a perception check for me.
Sure, okay, because I haven't seen anybody else yet.
Yeah, you haven't seen anyone else yet.
I've been standing here. 23.
With this conversation with Camille, you see that your party is in disarray. Tama has walked away from his post. Wilson has a stark, white, pale look on his face. And before your very eyes, it almost seems like Zana vanishes. But Camille is standing there, patiently, allowing you to take it all in.
What do you want?
All I want is for you to hear my offer.
Fine. Lead the way.
And she gestures to a corridor in the opposite direction that you see Tama went. And she leads you to, again, what seems to be almost like a receptionary diplomat's quarters, where it's a little loungy, comfortable, a nice aside room from all of the hustle and bustle of the wedding.
You're stealing my plans, Camille. I don't like it.
I am insulted that you would accuse me of stooping so low.
Well, you're right. There's only so many places you can go in this vicinity. So, what do you want to talk about, since you keep seeming to try and seek me out?
I mean, you are the guild leader, after all.
Right.
Where you lead, they follow, for better or worse.
I should hope not. I walk into many things I shouldn't be walking into.
And yet, they still follow. So, I have a proposal. You and your guild have been striving to leave the game. My offer is quite simple. You may.
In exchange for what?
That you leave the game.
That's it.
That's
just,
all.
Just leave.
Just leave. If you want and you wish to even connect with your compatriots, I'll even disclose their locations and contact information to you so you can even reunite in the real world.
Why?
I've seen how hard you've struggled, and I find it admirable. So, why keep this farce on any longer? You may leave if you wish.
I need more information than that, Camille.
Ask away.
Why do you want us to leave the game in particular? What are we getting in the way of? I'm a very reasonable person, Camille.
You are at odds with the game itself. You aren't playing the game to play the game anymore, Snow. You have expressed very alarming intentions to destroy the game. Wouldn't that ruin everyone else's fun?
What makes you say everyone else is having fun?
Who are you to decide that they aren't?
And what proof of you that they are?
You see a bunch of windows pop up and you're like kind of reminded that you are in a game and you're just literally getting pop-up windows all around you.
I'm feeling nauseous with like the
getting motion sickness as you're watching like 27 screens at once. But you're watching all of these moments of individuals experiencing very hedonistic desires, genuine joy where they're like going out and having fun, but also individuals who are indulging themselves in whatever they wanted to. Things that arguably they probably wouldn't have been able to get away with in the real world, but are being able to experience in this virtual reality.
Certainly those people seem to be enjoying themselves, Camille, but what about those who are not? Why are they not given a choice to leave?
They have, as all of you do, an avenue of departure.
That is not fair at all. That is literally deleting yourself from life.
Oh, no. I just mean beating the game.
We're working on that.
No.
Yes.
Amelia.
No.
You are trying to break the game. As a game moderator, I can't sit by and allow that. You may continue to play the game, but if your intentions are to break the game, I ask that you and your guild leave.
Why are we being treated like the ones that are hacking the game? This seems unfair.
I'm sorry, has anyone else attempted to destroy the server systems?
Excuse me?
Well, technically, you haven't attempted yet.
I was going to say.
But that doesn't mean it's not on your bucket list.
So why trap us all in here in the first place?
If I had known you would be so problematic, I probably wouldn't have included you in the first place. Unfortunately, we just needed a large enough sample size, so we were not very discriminatory on our participants.
This is an experiment. Is that what you're saying?
Isn't everything in life?
I suppose, in a way. So, we're all being part of an experiment. What is it for? I know some things, but I want to hear it from your mouth.
Finally, after years of technological advancements, we were able to create sophisticated enough technology that we could display images. Furthermore, we were able to capture images. We have refined this to such a scale that we understand how the brain processes these phenomena, and we are even able to capture its activity. Though we understand a small fraction of what the human brain is truly capable of, now that we have such monitoring technology, well, maybe we could discover our full potential. But there are so many regulations. Human experimentation is severely limited, but voluntary. Individuals who signed off. No one ever reads the terms and agreement.
Excuse me, I might have perused through them just slightly less than I probably should have, but I perused them. There wasn't anything about bloodletting and signing my life over to the company, maybe.
Yeah, you have to click the link.
I read the, have you read the terms and conditions part, not the actual document.
We are doing this for the betterment of all of humanity. If we can understand our next evolution, then we might be able to weather what lies ahead.
Interesting. So you want us to log out of the game because we've been causing you problems. It seems to me, though, that we are capable enough of causing these issues. Why not just make us moderators? Why not just make us part of your game, then?
Two very different approaches to the same thought.
You are unknown entities, and quite frankly, I don't trust what you would do if actually given power.
I think I've proven what I'm able to do and what I don't do.
If you truly are interested in becoming a moderator, perhaps there is room for you in the organization.
There's a job related. Yo, guys, job opportunities. Legal. You get a job after you leave the game? Amazing.
The real question then becomes, what happens to everyone else? According to certain individuals' calculations, if you keep running the brain at the rate that you are, the people will expire. Isn't that problematic to you?
Understanding the limitations of the human body is part of evolution.
See, I don't like that last part right there. What do you mean, evolution? I don't think it doesn't drive like that. You're insane. Different level of insanity. Are you even a person?
She just blinks at you, tilts her head slightly.
I don't like that answer. That's a nondescript answer. That doesn't tell me anything.
I am just an individual who, like you, is concerned for humanity's existence. The difference is, I understand that in order to make an omelet, you need to crack a few eggs.
You could have just used the prisoners on death row or something. I don't know. Wouldn't that have made more sense? People with life sentences?
There are a few in here.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful to know. Really.
Some of them are relishing the opportunity for freedom.
So you just want us to log out, to leave.
It's that simple.
That simple.
You and your entire guild may leave.
But what about those who have wanted to leave? Why not let those people leave? Let them go.
In order to map out the human brain, we need to calculate and experience all range of human emotions. Joy, love, happiness, despair, desire. Those people are integral to our research. To be honest, we have gotten some phenomenal data off of you and your guild, too.
Oh, what kind of data? Please, do share.
Your ability to overcome adversity has been quite admirable, but overall, the combination of your ingenuity and stubbornness has proven immensely grating, especially when you put all of these talents to such waste.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Imagine if you applied yourself to something actually meaningful. Beating the game? Please, Had you ever truly put this much effort towards anything else in your life? It's amazing what humanity is capable of when they feel like their life is on the line. We could have solved some of humanity's greatest issues if they truly understood the severity of the catastrophe that awaits them. The choice is yours.
And when do you need a decision by?
Let's say, I think a week would be enough time. Enough time for you to ponder your dilemma, but not quite enough, I feel, for you to cause too much more trouble.
Listen, I'll find a way.
I'm sure you will.
Right. We'll come back to this conversation at a later date.
I look forward to it.
Meanwhile, Tama!
Yeah.
How you doing, bud?
Definitely going through a little bit of a crisis right now.
Yeah, a little bit of one. So you are walking down the hall with following Camille Lasimus as she leads you into, very similarly to Snow, a diplomat's quarters, a little cozy, cushy place where she sits down in a chair and taps down at a couch nearby her, gesturing for you to sit.
No, I think I'll stand for now.
You do cherish that option, don't you, Aaron?
Well, yes, I guess you already know that, since you seem to have all the information about me. I mean, seems like you know pretty much everything, huh?
I try to stay informed, though you all surprise me sometimes.
So, you said you had an offer?
Out of everyone you are associated with, I believe that my work could benefit you the most. You will find out that I have made the same offer to each of your friends. If you wish, you are free to leave the game. Now, I understand that this game meant more to you than them.
Well, yes, it kind of did. I don't really... The life I'd be going back to isn't really one that's that amazing.
What if that could be changed?
Well,
you were right, Aaron. You can find the solution for your condition in this game. Our purpose here is to map out the full potential of humanity and find its next evolution. If you were to participate in our program after leaving this game, we could cure you.
And give the same offer to everyone, the same offer to leave.
Yes, all of you may leave. Some of your compatriots are not as enthusiastic with the idea, surprisingly. If you can convince the rest of your guild to leave, as was your goal when the guild was founded, I can guarantee that your treatment will be 100% provided for. No additional expense to you or your family. The life you have lived these past months could be obtainable.
And everyone else that is in the game? That are stuck here?
They all have their own opportunities. Much like you. Everyone joined the game for their own differing reasons. Some individuals may not have even ever wanted to leave.
As my situation, I can see that. I might have to think about this. It sounds almost too good to be true.
I can tell that you're skeptical. I'll give you time to think it over. But also, I know that it won't hurt that soon enough, you'll have proof of my sincerity.
And with that, we cut over to Zalani. You hear the faint beeping as you realize you're connected to a ton of wires and tubes. And you turn around very quickly and you spin around. You feel like you're in a very white, sterile room until you realize that you're lying in a hospital bed.
Oh, shit.
And I think that's where we're going to end this week's episode of the Odd Campaign. Thanks for listening, Foundlings. If you enjoyed this week's episode of The Odd Campaign, please make sure to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast listening app. You can find us anywhere where podcasts can be found, whether it's Podchaser, Podbean, YouTube, or Spotify. Please feel free to drop us a like and subscribe to this podcast to stay tuned and not miss a beat. You can also follow us on social media, though we aren't as active as they should be. We are both on X and Instagram at RollFound. But if you really want to get into the thick of things with us, please feel free to join our Discord, where we are on there and heavily active, where we play games and stream for some of our followers pretty much every night, as we always are up to something.
Unless it's not that night.
Then just tune in when it is that night. You'll find us. At least we're on there.
Once or twice a week. Maybe four times a week. It really depends.
If you want to help support the podcast in any other way and get access to exclusive bonus content or early releases of episodes, please be sure to become a member of our Patreon. Once we get people on our Patreon, maybe we'll actually begin releasing our episodes earlier.
More often, at least. At least.
At the very least.
Yeah.
And a special thank you and shout out to Michael Gelfi, Ivan Dutch, and Monument Studios for providing the music and ambiance in today's session, which really helps bring the whole series to life. This has been your friendly neighborhood GM. I'll see you guys next week on The Odd Campaign.